Good evening to everybody. Parshas Pekudei brings Sefer Shmos to close, and moreover brings the Parshios of the Mishkan, the building, and erecting the Mishkan to a conclusion. And of course, Parshas Pekudei opens up with an accounting, specifications, the numbers, the dollars, and the inventory of what was brought in and how exactly the Mishkan was built. It's the first pasuk that I'd like to bring your attention. Pasuk reads, Eilet Pekudei HaMishkan Mishkan Edus. This is an accounting. This is a summation of the charge of the building of the Mishkan, Asher Pukad al Pi Moshe Avodas HaLevim, that Moshe established and that Moshe commanded based upon the work of the Levim, the hands of Yisamar ben Aaron HaKohen. And on this very passage, the Medrash, Anchuma, as well as the Medrash Rabba, points out that the language of Asher Pukad al Pi Moshe is interesting. What does it mean that it was based upon that which Moshe said? It's here that the Medrash points out that Moshe specifically went out of his way to make sure that there was a sense of transparency, a sense of accounting, and to make sure that even though Moshe was a trustworthy individual, the Medrash quotes the Pasuk, Ish Emunos, a man who was trustworthy, Zem Moshe, that is Moshe. Shanasi Gizbar Melechas HaMishkan, Moshe was the treasury over the Mishkan, the treasurer. And nonetheless, Moshe Rabbeinu did not necessarily have to report. He was the most trustworthy person, as the Torah says, that there's no question. Moshe was unquestionable. The Chol Abdi Nemanu, Moshe was the most trustworthy servant that the Torah ever describes. Nonetheless, Moshe Rabbeinu went out of his way to demonstrate his trustworthiness, and he called together all of Klal Yisrael for an accounting. And as a result of Moshe calling for an accounting and Moshe speaking to Klal Yisrael, from here the Medrash learns the importance of creating lack of doubt and making sure that nobody ever is suspicious of an individual. Of course, these are concepts that are familiar, Maris Hayin, Chshad, and here's where the Mishnah Meseches Shkalim picks up on the Medrash and teaches as follows. There's Man Beis HaMikdash, you're familiar, that there used to be different kupos, different spaces and places and boxes where the money, the Shkalim, were kept. And when somebody went in to take money in order to go purchase something for the needs of the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishnah says that they couldn't go in with a minnow or a sandal, v'lo b'tfilin, v'lo b'kaniya. There are certain things that were prohibited to be worn. And the reason that certain things would be prohibited to be worn, for example, as we said, a hand garment, shoes, an amulet, they would allow an individual the opportunity to smuggle something out. Somebody would take coins out for himself. And therefore the Mishnah says, don't wear anything that can potentially lead one to be suspicious of you sneaking something out. As the Mishnah says, "L'fish adam tzarech latzeis kidei habriyos." A person has to make sure that nobody ever suspects you. "Shetzarech latzeis kidei hamakom." The same way that you should not allow any individual to doubt you is just the same way they should never allow a god to doubt you. And here the Mishnah quotes the Pasuk in Mishlei, V'yisim nikim Hashem Yisrael, that one should be clean in the eyes of God and in the eyes of Israel. And then the Pasuk, the Mishnah goes on to quote a second Pasuk, U'matza chen v'seich al tov v'ein yelhem v'adam. That's actually a Pasuk in Mishlei. The first Pasuk is a Pasuk in Bamidbar, that one should find favor in the eyes of God and man. It is interesting to note in the Mefarshei Mishnah question, why is it that the Mishnah needs to bring two psukim to prove this point, that one should never be suspicious of you? The Pasuk says, V'yisem nikiyem Hashem Yisrael, you should be clean in the eyes of God, in the eyes of Israel. That's talking about the tribes Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe, who wanted to settle on the other bank on the Jordan of the Jordan River, and they didn't want necessarily to go in to settle with the rest of Klal Yisrael. But they said, for the sake of the rest of Klal Yisrael never being suspicious and never raising their eyebrows and never doubting us, we're going to go and we're going to fight, and then we'll go cross over to the other side. That's what Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe say. But then why does the Mishnah have to quote the second pasuk, U'matza chen v'seich al tov v'ein elhim yadam, that you should find goodness and kindness in the eyes of God, in the eyes of man? As I pointed out, many of the Mefarshim and Mishnah asked this question, why is it that there's a need for two psukim? Rabbi Yonatan Eibshitz and his Tiferes Yisrael explained that the first pasuk is teaching us that we should avoid absolutely acting in a manner which could cause suspicion. That's what the first pasuk teaches us. V'yisim nikiyam, me'ashem me'ashel. However, the second pasuk is coming to teach that it's insufficient only to clarify our actions after they're done, but we shouldn't even create a scenario or situation or a case where somebody could even suspect us before or even after. There should never be any reason to ever question an individual for anything that they do. And that's what we learn from the second pasuk, U'matzachein v'seichel tov b'nei olim v'yadam, that we should always make sure that we find favor and good understanding of the eyes of God and the eyes of man, and that's what the pasuk in Mishlei tells us. So, of course, the Medrash makes this point on the opening psukim in Parshas Pekudei. The Mishnah follows up on it and teaches us this concept of never allowing doubt, suspicion, to rise in any of our actions, certainly when it comes to financial activity. And this is Paskin Lehalacha in the Ramah. The Ramah in Hilchos Tzedakah, in Siman Resh and Zayin, there are halachas that are specific for a gabbai tzedakah, one who is distributing money, charity. One should never be suspicious of a person that he's taking money, keeping money for himself, giving money in the wrong place. And the Ramah says, Kideshu Nikim Hashem Yisrael, in order that the gabbai, the one who is in charge of the tzedakah, the communal tzedakah organization, Tov Lahem Litein Cheshbon. It's important that they have an accounting and set up some system of accounting whereby there'll never be any doubt and any suspicion. Here, the Bir Hagra says that the source of this position of the Ramah, the Ramah is actually quoting the Tur, but the source of this halacha, says the Gra, is the Medrash Rabbah, the Medrash Tanchuma that we just quoted in the beginning of Parshas Pekudei. Ish emuno ze Moshe, a man of trustworthiness, that's Moshe, shenasa gizbar melechas, the Mishkan, the Moshe took over the treasury of the Mishkan, and even though Moshe was the most trustworthy person, nobody would ever suspect him, nonetheless, the Pasuk says, asher pukar al pi Moshe, b'yad Isamar. He hired and made sure that Isamar would create the situation where there'd be checks and balances in order that there should never be any suspicion whatsoever. Common word that we use or throw around these days is transparency, and indeed, that is exactly what the Mishnah, what the Medrash, and the Halacha are teaching us. That when it comes to any form of financial obligation, any form of tzedakah, any organization, there is a requirement and an important requirement when you're dealing with communal funds that there should be reporting. There should be an annual report, the quarterly reports, whatever it is, but everything should be clear. We never want to create doubt. We never want to create suspicion. Chassam Sofer and the Tshuva says something startling. Quoting this pasuk, that we just quoted, that is quoted by the Mishnah, Mitzach HaShkalim, V'yisim Nikim Me'Hashem Yisrael, the Chassam Sofer says, Kol Yomai Hayisi Mitzar al Pasuk Zeh. My whole life, this Pasuk troubled me and bothered me, because he felt that it's impossible, that how could it be that I could never create any doubt or any suspicion in anybody else's eyes? How is it possible for me, a human being, to be able to be so perfect and so pristine without any suspicion whatsoever? Chassam Sofer says in this tshuva that he finds it easier that one fulfill the first half of the pasuk, Vayisim Nikim Hashem. I always am able to create a scenario where Kadosh Baruch Hu will not judge me improperly. Hashem always has the glasses that are clear, but individuals, they'll always be suspicious. Too often we hear people say, you know, imagine a Torah scholar, such and such a person did such a thing. Maybe it's only speculation. Maybe it's not true. But the doubt is there. So how can an individual fulfill the pasuk Vayisim Nikim Hashem Umei Yisrael? Says the Chassam Sofer, maybe that's what King Shlomo, Melech Shlomo said, Ein tzadik ba'aretz asher lo yechet. It's impossible that there's a man in this world who has just only done righteous and has never sinned. It's referring to this pasuk, says the Chassam Sofer, because people always doubt, always question, always wonder, is this person honest? Is he actually acting the way that he does? Chassam Sofer, interestingly enough, adds that this pasuk, which is referring to Reuven, Gad, and Chati, Shevi, Menashe, that of course they fulfilled their obligation. They went to the other side and they fought on the front lines for Bnei Yisrael when they conquered Eretz Yisrael. Cannot. How could it be that anybody would suspect them of doing something wrong? But nonetheless, we see that there still is a concern on the part of Klal Yisrael and the part of Bnei Yisrael, and maybe suggests to Chassam Sofer that it's for this reason that Reuven, Gad, and Chati, Shevi, Menashe were later exiled, were sent to the Golos with the rest of the 10 tribes. So certainly we see very clearly that this word and concept, transparency, honesty, certainly applies and is found in early texts and sources in Chazal, a Mishnah, a Medrash in the beginning of Parshas Pekudei, the Mishnah of Masech HaShkalim, a Ramah, a Gra, in Hilchos Tzedakah when it comes to Tzedakah distribution, when it comes to communal organizations, when it comes to Mammon Hekdesh, when it comes to dealing with people. Absolutely, positively, and accounting is important, and honesty in that area is extraordinarily crucial. Not only does the Chassam Sofer make this point, but his son, the Ksav Sofer, in the biography about him, the Sefer Chutah Meshulash by Reb Shmuel Ben Yamin Schreiber, notes how the Chasav Sofer was so cautious regarding other people's money that even if he had a situation where he had 70 reasons of heter, 70 reasons to permit something, against one reason for Isser, any time it came to a financial matter, he wouldn't rely on the 70 reasons for leniency, but any time there's even one reason for Chumrah, he would absolutely positively err on the side of caution, because when it comes to dealing with other people's money and acting honestly and fairly with other people's money, the Ksav Sofer took the high road, learning from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Nesivos, the great halachic authority, Rabbi Yaakov Alisa, who is very well known for extraordinary commentaries throughout Shulchan Aruch, the Sefer Derech HaChaim, of course, the Nesivos and Choshen Mishpat, Morachayim and Hilchos Pesach, and in the Chavos Da'at, in Hilchos Nida, he wrote a Tzava, his last will and his testament. And some of the last points that he wrote to his children, his last will and testament, are all about dealing with others in finance and dealing with others fairly. He talks about his sons that are going into business, make sure you study the laws of ribbit, the laws of interest, dealing with other people fairly, honestly. It's so easy to make a mistake. He says, Mama Oud ani masir eschem, I warn you and I caution you, my children. Shemod mod tarchiku atzmechem shiyismuchu achem al ne'emanas shalachem. Make sure that other people trust you and that your word is a word and that people rely on you and they count on you. In order that nobody should ever be suspicious of your actions. It's very easy to lean leniently in any of these cases. Specifically, when it comes to finance, when it comes to money, when it comes to dealing with other people, when it comes to a geshef, there you have to be careful, because in any time that you're dealing with finances, with money, Maman Hektesh, or Masumat, and any type of business transaction, Tasiru Me'o, be very careful. Careful, says the Nesivos, Shlo Tavoli Dekach, that you shouldn't come to such a situation. Be very, very, very cautious. That's are the words of the Nesivos. Generation or so later, the Chafetz Chaim says, he writes, he comments, that he dealt with other people's money like Hilchos Yichud. Of course, we're all familiar with the halachas of a man and a woman secluding privately, and Isser D'Rabbanan. And the Chafetz Chaim said when it came to dealing with other people's money, he treated it like yichud. He wouldn't hold on to somebody else's money only on his own without somebody else knowing, without making a recording, without being transparent, that there should be a honest situation, a ledger. There should be a bank record. There should be a statement. There should be very clear, careful, delineated, and articulated records that nobody should ever be suspicious of him. And he went as far as to go that he wouldn't handle or hold on to somebody else's money without somebody else having knowledge of it. He held, and he paskin, that it was from the halachas of yichud, seclusion with somebody else's money. Thus far, we've spoken about stucca distribution and dealing with communal funds, like Moshe Rabbeinu dealing with the money of the Mishkan. We dealt with the Mishnah dealing with the money of the Beis HaMikdash. We dealt with the Ramah dealing with Hilchos Staka and how a Gabbite Staka has to distribute Kesef, and certainly all the sources we saw in the Chasam Sofer, the Ksav Sofer, the Nesivos, and Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, are dealing when it comes to communal financial matters, money that belongs to the Tzibur. But this rule extends well beyond that. Of course, we're familiar, one of the four questions will be asked, L'achameh V'esim Shana, after 120, Nasata V'nasata Demuna, did you conduct your business affairs with faith? And not only does the concept of transparency and honesty in business play itself out when it comes to communal funds and finances and baman hektesh, but it also comes down to your business affairs and how an individual deals honestly and just and fairly when it comes to details and situations that are crucial. There's a beautiful article, an essay, printed by Rabbi Avram Palm, the late Rosh Yeshiva, Atar Vadas. The essay first appeared in a journal called Hamasifta, which was a journal given to alumni of the Yeshiva Atar Vadas. It later was republished in English, translated, and was printed in the Jewish Observer. It is easiest and most commonly found in the beginning of the book, the English work, The Laws of Ribbit, the art school series that written by Rabbi Israel Reisman. And the foreword to that book is this article by Rabbi Palm. And Rabbi Palm makes 3 points. In three areas, quoting from the Chafetz Chaim, where many of us often fall prey and trap not being transparent and not being honest in cases of business dealing. And the most common example is a scenario that the Chafetz Chaim stresses and speaks very, very articulately about and very, very specifically about in his Sefer. And he says the importance of specifying details of an agreement beforehand. Many times we engage a landlord and a tenant, a buyer and a seller, and they come to an understanding and agreement. However, they say, you know, we'll work out the details later, but just start the job. And when the job's done, you know, we'll figure it out. We'll get it together. And unfortunately, by the time the job is done, upon completion of the job, disputes arise. Misunderstanding exists. The job wasn't well done. The job was well done. I meant to do this. You meant to do that. And some people begin to argue and let things go, and there becomes a brutal, brutal argument between the parties. Therefore, says the Chafetz Chaim, it's crucial that all issues are worked out prior to any work beginning. Don't settle until, and don't begin work until the end is complete and everything is detailed and written out. A deal between a landlord and a tenant. Two people are getting involved in a business deal. A contractor working on your home. Make sure everything is written black and white. Of course, the contract is only important once the deal and once the relationship breaks down. But, of course, if details are written, if there's clarity, therefore you turn back to the paper, you turn back to the contract, and everything is worked out. In a scenario where there is no contract and thus things aren't written down and there is no paperwork, Shulchan Aruch Paskins and the Choshen Mishpat and Shulam Abed, that in that situation, the agreement and the way to come to terms, of course, is based upon whatever the prevailing custom, Minigam Medina, is in that particular place, whatever that work goes for. That's the price and that's the amount of money you have to pay. But never should a person find himself or herself in such a situation where the details of the agreement weren't satisfied and were not articulated, were not signed off on prior. Too often we find such situations where trouble exists only because there was no clear an item articulated in the beginning of the case. There are two other common examples which come up. First is when it comes to defects in sales. Anytime a person is selling something, you have to be very careful that you're selling something that the individual, the buyer, sees. And clearly any lack or any malfunction or anything that's hidden inappropriately, that could create a mekatos. You could call the sale off. And if a person is selling something that is defective and doesn't tell, if a person gives something to somebody else and pretends that there's no issue, but you sell a car and the muffler's broken, the engine is broken, and you paint it over and you say everything is perfect, that's cheating. That's not fair. That's true, of course, for Jew and non-Jew alike. Of course, the Pesukim in the Torah which refers to this, Pesukim Sefer Vayikra, Pesukim Sefer Dvar, that a salesman can't create an injustice with measures, weight, volumes, in tzedek, eifa tzedek, an exact accounting always has to be made. So anytime we're dealing with a seller and a salesman, it's crucial, it's important, it's right, it's just, only to make sure that the item being sold is something that's fair. The other way around is also true. The purchaser, if he finds an item that's defective, finds something that's not working, so if you keep on using it and then you expect to return it sometime later, that's also inappropriate. If you purchase something and it's not good, so it could be returned. But if you purchase something and it's defective and you continue to use it, and then only later do you decide that it's not an item that you want, at that point returning it also wouldn't be fair. So of course, transparency when it comes to making a deal, when it comes to speaking out and fleshing out the terms of the deal, is crucial at the beginning. Explaining to the purchaser what the item is that's being sold. If there are any malfunctions, it should be spoken out. It should be discussed. These are Pesukim in the Torah, the Rambam writes in Hilchot Ganeva, amongst all these things. When it comes to purchasing something and it turns out that the sale item is not exactly what you wanted, of course you also have to create and to announce that situation, but don't wait too late. Rabbi Palm quotes a story from the Chafetz Chaim, whose son, Reb Leib, writes that in 1906, when the Chafetz Chaim was publishing the Mishnah Berurah, he was very careful to tell his son to make sure that you look through every page of the book that it's printed properly. Of course, this is well before that we have an advanced system of editing and copying work and publishing works. And it turned out that the sale of the Mishnah Berurah, some steps of the Mishnah Berurah, were missing some pages. And the Chafetz Chaim was so angered and was so upset that he asked his son, how could you do such a thing? All the days of my life, I was so concerned that I was spared from Gezel. But now I see as a result I fell into the problem of Gezel. And he immediately commanded his son and told his son to print extra copies of the Sefer, of the section, and to put a reminder, or to put a statement out in the local paper, making sure that everything would be announced and anybody who had a problem should come and to speak to them about it. That's transparency. That's being honest in business. There are so many scenarios that we bump into over the course of our day where we can be honest, where we have to be honest, where we could create situations where nobody should ever doubt us, nobody should ever create a sense of suspicion around us. But our goal and our role as Jews, as Klal Yisrael, as Frum Jews, is to never allow anybody to ever say, how can such a person do that? How could a Frum person do that? We should never create a sense of suspicion in anybody's eyes. We should be honest. We should be upright. We should be an Or LaGoyim. We should be the ones setting the rules, the standards of what it means to be honest, what it means to be just, what it means to be ethical. But there's so many scenarios we could fall prey to trouble. On the other hand, of course, we know so many people in Klal Yisrael who have created such a great Kiddush Hashem. Rabbi Palm quotes in his essay about a Jew, Rabbi Avram Horowitz, who was a Jew who ran a bedding supply store on the east side in Brooklyn. And anytime somebody would ask him, do you have a nice mattress, he would respond, nice? I don't know if it's nice, but I have some other merchandise, but I can only show you what I have. Here you see a person who is so careful with his words, so cautious with his words. When he was selling something and he heard a family member pointing at a mattress to a particular purchaser, he would call out, did you show the customer the damage on that? Please show the customer the damage on it. That's a Jew. And that's what it means, being honest in business. That's what it means, v'yitzim nikim Hashem Yisrael. That's what it means, u'matachin v'seichel tov v'enei olim v'yadam. That's what it means, being honest when you distribute staka. That's what it means, honesty when you're dealing with communal funds. That's transparency when it comes to communal funds. And of course, honesty in business, in our dealings, in our masa v'mata. Parshas Pekudei, as we finish, Sefer Shmos, as the Mishkan comes to conclusion, that we ask and we pray to Hashem, that Yitin Hashem, that Hashem should send his countenance and his honesty on the Mishkan, on the Jewish people, on Klal Yisrael. It begins in this area. Gezel is something that's to be cautious about. Of course, we're not talking about taking and going into somebody's house and stealing something. As the Mesillas Yesharim points out in Perek Yud Aleph of Nikias, that stealing often comes in more subtle ways. But being honest with somebody and being honest in our business dealings is something that we have to consider, we have to think about, because, of course, every generation has its challenges and every generation has areas that need to improve. In our generation, something that we have to consider and think about is this area, honesty, transparency, and making sure that we create the Kiddush Hashem, making sure that we are an Or LaGoyim, and creating scenarios and situations where we create a trend and set a trend of honesty. And Mir Tashem, we should be Zochet, Mir Kaddish, Yem Shemai, Barabbas.